Thank you for downloading this William Hill podcast. You can get the latest odds, offers, and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app, and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Punt podcast. Dave Kellner here alongside Lee Phelps with Derek McGovern on the line to look ahead to the two FA Cup semi-finals this weekend and the seven Premier League matches as well. First of all, it's a very good morning to Mr. Derek McGovern. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, chaps. All well, I hope.
Absolutely, Mr. Phelps.
I'm very good, thank you. Glad to be back in the studio.
Yeah, prioritising the podcast this weekend, well, you know, which is nice.
Well, you know, AP McCoy or you two?
And it's I did both.
I did both. Yeah. See?
Thank you. We've got two FA Cup matches we're going to start off with this weekend. Then we'll look at the Premier League matches. We'll start with Reading versus Arsenal. Obviously, these two matches at neutral venue, both played at Wembley. And Reading 10-1 to win this FA Cup match. 5:20 p.m. kickoff on Saturday evening. The draw 4-1 and Arsenal 1-4. To qualify for the final, Reading 9-2, Arsenal in the market at 1-8. First of all, Lee, the BBC decided not to give up that prime time slot, so this match will clash with Chelsea versus Manchester United on Saturday evening, which is bemusing from a neutral's perspective, yeah, isn't it? Of someone that just wants to watch football.
It's up there with the most ridiculous decisions of recent time in terms of the media, isn't it? But, you know, what do you do? I mean, who would rather watch this than that Premier League game? The answer, very few, because the Reading fans who'd want to watch it will surely be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, anyhow, you know, it's an interesting game, this, I think, because, you know, Arsenal are 1-4, obviously, you know, and they're 1-4 for a reason, but still don't think I can back the odds on. You know, I just can't trust them, even though there's a lot going for them in this game.
You'd take 10 to 11, though, wouldn't you, here?
Yeah, I think I'd take 10 to 11, just about. Yeah. Maybe, at a push. I still probably want even money about them, though. There's a lot of things going for them. Obviously, they're used to the big occasion and the pitch and et cetera, et cetera. But I've been reading a really interesting article on... there's a great website, if anyone uses it, called SB Nation. And it's basically like a collection of different clubs... like forums and blogs, and this one's called the Tilehurst End, and this brilliant article. The guy's basically gone through and looked at all the tactical nuances of Reading's recent games and how Steve Clarke set up against Arsenal when he was West Brom manager. And, you know, it makes a very compelling argument for what they're going to do. And in recent weeks, I mean, they haven't won a game since they beat Bradford in the FA Cup, have they? In recent weeks, they've obviously been experimenting with a new kind of 4-3-3, which can change into a 4-5-1 and all that. I'm not a massive fan of, the formations and what have you. I just think the players go out there. But the key thing is that Chalobah has been used as a holding midfielder. And it looks like, according to this article, which is very detailed, it looks like what Steve Clarke will do is have Chalobah as a holding midfielder, and they will have a very tight midfield and stop Arsenal getting through them. So the gap between, we saw it against Burnley actually, the gap between defence and midfield, because Burnley attacked, was sometimes too big, and Arsenal can just flood that gap and attack at will. Now, the last time Steve Clarke played Arsenal, when he was manager of West Brom, they got a 1-1 draw, and he employed that. Better players for West Brom, admittedly, than they've got at Reading at the minute. But if that is the plan, and I see no reason to think that isn't the plan,
yep,
then I think they might be able to might give Arsenal a little bit of a scare here. It might be one of those where Arsenal may struggle to break Reading down for a large chunk of the game. Another interesting thing is that in Derek will enjoy this, and probably remember this actually, in Fergie's book, he said about Arsenal that you don't need to win the ball against Arsenal. You need to stay close to them, intercept it, and then counter quickly, because they're not very good at turning around and defending.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you know, you can imagine that is the tactic that Reading must employ. So with that in mind, I do think Arsenal will get the job done eventually. I just think that the whole occasion will get to Reading eventually. I don't think they'll last the 90 minutes. I think Arsenal are more suited to that. And I don't think Reading will attack enough to trouble Arsenal. Even if they score one, I still think Arsenal can outscore them. So I'm going under 2.5 goals in the match at 6-4. If you want to add Arsenal into that, and why wouldn't you? The Arsenal to win and under 2.5 would be my key bet. I just think they'll get the similar to the Burnley game in a way. You know, 5-2 for Arsenal to win, 1-0 or 2-0.
could look at the draw at Arsenal as well if you expect in a double result market. Yeah. Which
I always worry these days about getting chinned in, especially with the
late on in the first half.
Because if the tyre, you know, that spell between like say 35 to 45, you do start to see them. The concentration slips at that point. So it would maybe the 30-minute betting is another way in, but it's usually a bit short. To be fair, so I'll stick with that. Arsenal win under 2.5 goals.
That's
my main bet, DK.
That's your main bet. Thank you, Mr.
I've had some stick this week. Derek, I got about 6 right last week, and he claims that I put about 4 bets up every match. Making a point of saying that's my main bet this week.
When on Monday morning, Derek, there's a post-mortem on the Pump podcast, and we decide how Lee's done over the weekend.
There's no post-mortem.
And he, on my side of things, there is. And he always says, yeah, well, I got this bet up, this bet up. He's putting 6 bets up in every single match, Derek, you know.
Well, that's 60 bets over the course of a Premier League, and you're getting 6 right, Lee. Don't you join in? Welcome to my world.
Don't you join in.
Derek, what do you think on this one?
Well, it doesn't matter what formation Reading player is. Even if you play 4-4-4, they ain't going to get anything out of this game. It's impossible to make a case for them. I mean, they've failed to beat the likes of Blackpool and Cardiff in recent weeks. Why all of a sudden are we expecting them to raise their game against Arsenal on neutral ground when they haven't been able to raise it against token opposition on home soil? It ain't going to happen. And yeah, okay, it sounds in theory great, like what Fergie has to say, catch Arsenal on the break, but you're playing with players most of the time and then playing against Arsenal like Ronaldo and Wayne Rooney. Now you've got players like Pogrebniak, Jamie Mackey, Yakubu. I mean, the pre-match meal is a bowl of Werther's originals. How old are these people? I mean, these were going when the Premier League first began, these players. It's an absolute nailed-on certain Arsenal. We're 1-4, no one's going to touch them, of course. But you mentioned 10-11. You'd have a dabble if they were 10-11. Well, they're 10-11 to win without conceding. Mm. And I just can't see how Reading are going to score here. It's a nailed-on Arsenal win, and 10-11 to win to nil strikes me as a decent bet.
Good stuff. That's in the goals market, by the way. Do check out all the odds here with William Hill, including the headline offers. Jamie Mackie to score and Reading to win in 90 minutes is 25-1. Aaron Ramsey to score and Arsenal to win in the 90 in the betting at 2-1. The other semi-final is, of course, Aston Villa versus Liverpool. Aston Villa 9-2 to win the match. The draw in the betting at 11-4. Liverpool 8-13. Headline offers here, Christian Benteke to score and Aston Villa to win in the 90 is 8-1. Philip Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win in 90 minutes in the betting at 3-1. Derek, Tim Sherwood's been moaning about his lack of options ahead of this match due to the injury situation at Villa at the moment. However, they did win 1-0 at Spurs on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they can relax a little bit as far as the league's concerned now and have full focus on this FA Cup match.
Yeah, well, he did mention that, Sherwood, didn't he? He said if we'd have lost that game last week, he might not have been able to give an FA Cup semi-final his full attention. I mean, that is worrying, isn't it? I have to say, I fancy Villa here, 9-2. I'm not getting fooled by Liverpool's winning against Newcastle on Monday. I thought it was another substandard Liverpool performance, and there's been a month for them recently. Mm. They were playing Newcastle, who Sunderland beat on home soil, and we're made to sweat until they got the second goal late on. I just can't have them. And the way Villa are playing right now, they've really surprised me. I think they've been excellent since Sherwood arrived. And 9-2, they beat Liverpool at Anfield earlier this season. I know they lost the reverse game 2-0 at Villa Park, but they were the better team that day, by the way. Could have easily gone the other way. They're in form. Liverpool are out of it. And they've got forwards who are going to damage Liverpool, I think. Benteke, yeah. I mean, I've had my doubts about him, but you can't argue with what he's doing at the moment. And that headline offer, Villa to win and Benteke to score, 8-1. I mean, you know, if Villa are going to win, he's going to score, isn't he?
I like that.
I like the look of that. I think Liverpool are really there to oppose right now. 8-13. I wouldn't back him at Anfield at 8-13 against Villa. I'm certainly not going to back him at Wembley to do that. Villa at 9-2. If they've given this their full focus, and I shouldn't even be asking that question, but if they are, I think 9-2 is a mistake by the bookies. They really do.
Big news for Liverpool, Lee, is that Martin Skrtel and Steven Gerrard likely to feature in this match. Both of them had prep runs, if you will, against the Shrewsbury under-18s recently, and both have served their suspensions, so they're likely to play a part. Skrtel should come straight back into the first team, you'd imagine. Whether Gerrard does or not is open to question.
Yeah, imagine that though, being one of the Shrewsbury under-18s and Steven Gerrard plays against you. You'd be like, yeah, well, we're quicker than him. That's one thing. Yeah, I don't know about Gerrard. It'll be interesting to find out, won't it? I mean, I want Liverpool to get to the final just to see what Brendan Rodgers does with Gerrard, whether he gives him a start or brings him on to ascend an ovation. I don't know what he'll do there. I'm not as taken with Aston Villa as much as Derek is, I must admit. I mean, you know, you look at what they've done and, you know, the conceding three at home to QPR, who, as we know, have been very poor on the road most of the season. Well beaten by Man U, obviously beaten at home by Swansea. The result at Sunderland was great, but that's been put into context, I think. The result at Tottenham is a great result. Tottenham do look as though they've given up the ghost, though, to a certain extent, or run out of steam. But I think the Benteke shout is fantastic. I think if you're having one bet on this match, it has to be Benteke to score at 9-4. He's the sort of player that I think Liverpool could have done with. You know, I thought Liverpool should have signed Wilfried Bony last summer when they had the chance, when they signed Balotelli in the end instead. And I think Benteke would have done just as good a job for them. You know, when he's fit, he's as good a handful as anyone in the division. I'm not saying he's the best striker. He's just, you can imagine Derek as a centre-back. If he's on song, you'd be like, oh, you what? We don't want to have him, like, you know, battering us for 90 minutes. And I think that Liverpool defence, whether Skirtle's back or not, is susceptible at the moment.
That's big, though, isn't it, for Liverpool? Because they do look decidedly shaky without Skirtle at the back.
Yeah, but, I mean, they've conceded away from home. You know, they had that great run, didn't they, of clean sheets in the Premier League, conceded four at the Emirates. And in the FA Cup, I mean, you know, they've conceded goals pretty much everywhere they've been in the FA Cup this season. So, you know, I don't think they're that watertight, full stop, anyway. And I think the way I mean, I imagine the manager, Tim Sherwood, will send them out to attack in this game. There's very little point in sitting back and defending, and that's not really what he's done. Just to continue our theme of his arrogance, there was an interview with him after the game at the week, the Tottenham game at the weekend, and he was like, like when interviewers will say to a player or a manager, for unbelievable goal, you must be delighted with the goal. And everyone always says, don't they, well, it's more about the team than it is about the goal, blah, blah, blah. It's not, no, not Tim Sherwood. Asked him, you know, what about this result? It's a great result for me and the team. I mean, that's just brilliant, isn't it? I mean, it's just, you've got to hand it to him. He's just got an unbelievable amount of arrogance, this guy. But on the outrights, I think Liverpool will find a way of getting this done. I mean, maybe I'm being a little bit romantic here, but I just think Liverpool's name is written on the cup final. You know, they might not win the cup, but I think Gerrard's swan song will be at Wembley. You know, and I think they'll find a way against this Villa team, who must still be more concerned about getting out of this division. I know they've crept closer, but it only takes a couple of bad results for them to go back in there. And after this game, they've got Man City away, they've got Everton at home. You know, it's feasible that they don't win either of those games, and they're still in it by the time they play West Ham on the 9th of May. So, you know, I think Liverpool will get the job done, but I'm not mad keen on them at 8-13 the way they're playing at the minute. So I'm just going to stick with Benteke to score.
Yeah. Well, what did you make of the Raheem Sterling business, by the way, this week?
It's the media, though. They're sniffing the laughing gas or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just one of the things that it's unbelievable. I went to Derek. I'm 40 on Monday, so this isn't something that I partake in. But I went to a New Year's Eve party a couple of years ago, and I walked in. And as someone who likes a drink, you know, that's fine, isn't it? You know, I think we're all, you know, like to have a beer now and again. That's fine. You know, and I'm not naive enough to know that other things go on in the world. I walked into this party, and there's people sat around with these balloons, inhaling balloons, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I suddenly felt very old. I think it's just one of those things that kids do.
Yeah.
But as a professional footballer, you just can't be seen. No, doing you can't. That sort
you
can't stuff,
do.
Can you?
You can't. Unfortunately. Derek,
by the way, out there, do not inhale balloons.
No, do not
unless
inhale balloons.
Helium, maybe.
Well,
maybe.
I mean,
DK inhales helium before every podcast.
Yeah. Is that this comes when he's turned down that whatever it was, 150 grand a week, and now he's on that? He must be laughing all the way to the bank. Isn't beautiful. It? I mean, I'm still not sure. It's all, I think with Sterling, it's all a question of style over substance abuse.
I still don't think he's... I mean, you said a couple of weeks ago, Derek, that you thought he'd become a world superstar. I'm not convinced, Derek. Yeah, I mean, is he good enough to be holding Liverpool to ransom right now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I think he will. He's only 20. I mean, yeah. But the only way it's his finishing. I mean, he needs 20 chances to score and still misses.
His finishing was appalling, wasn't it? Yeah.
The other thing I don't like about him is, you know, when he runs, he holds his hands out. When he runs, like, he's balancing constantly.
Like a dancer.
I hate that.
Yeah, it does look a bit effeminate, doesn't it?
I don't mind the effeminate bit. I just don't like that style of running. It's like, just run. I want to see him catch a ball. See if he claps his hands together.
Let's move on to the Premier League then this weekend. And we'll start off with Chelsea versus Manchester United, which is a 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday evening. Chelsea 10-11 to win this match. The draw 5-2. Manchester United 3-1. Headline offers: Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win is 7-2. Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win in the market at 8-1. Lee, I'm not sure I should be surprised given how Jose Mourinho's teams set up and have ground out results in the past without performing well, but how they've won the last three matches in the Premier League is beyond me, really. Didn't perform against Hull, won Stoke and QPR. Similar sentiments apply. Didn't play the best stuff and still managed to get 3 points. Still missing Diego Costa as well. And Loic Remy is a doubt for the weekend. They might have to go with Didier Drogba up front. And he's definitely lost his physical presence, really. Yeah. He doesn't look as strong as he used to, Didier Drogba. And that's got to be a concern for Chelsea going into this match.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think we saw against QPR that they did struggle to be incisive up front. Got the job done. You know, I disagree with you about Stoke. I thought they played excellent against Stoke. And, you know, that consolation was a wonder goal, wasn't it? I thought the way they dominated that Stoke game at home was really interesting. The way they... A match today highlighted, actually, they really pushed Stoke and pressurised them. And then when it wasn't quite working, they just eased off them. Stoke then got a bit of confidence and started to pass the ball about. Then like a flick was switched, probably Mourinho shouted from the sideline, and they all started to pounce on them again. That's when the mistake came. So I'm not sure about that, but I agree against Hull. And QPR just didn't seem to have enough up front, and they won't have enough up front against Manchester United in this one. So Mourinho's funny, isn't he? He said after the QPR game that they need 11 points, and he said, you know, if it had been one here, that's fine. One towards the 11, no problem.
Yeah.
And he made a point of saying, I don't mean that those 11 points have got to come against, you know, Manchester United, Arsenal and Liverpool. He said, we can pick up the 11 points. As long as we get 11 points. He was almost dampening expectation in these big games. Not that I think he's going to go into it with any other thought than to get something out of it. But I've got a feeling here he might go into it thinking he'll get a point out of it. I think he might set up for a point here and not go for it in the kind of way that you might expect if they had a full strike force out there. Now, Manchester United are on a crest of a wave at the moment, aren't they? This is kind of like the apprentice versus the master, isn't it? It seems a bit strange saying that about Mourinho now, but he obviously, Van Gaal was one of the men who gave him his a lot of his coaching experience. They've got a great relationship, worked very closely together, I think, you know, against Man United in the past, in the Champions League, actually. Yeah, I think it's going to be more of a tactical battle than we saw in the Manchester Derby, which was a fantastic game, wasn't it? It was just right. We're going to have a go at each other here, and it was brilliant in that respect. So I think I'm looking at another low goals bet here. I think it could be the opposite of what people might expect, given what we saw in that City game. Now, the under 2.5 is 4-6, which I was quite surprised about. I thought I was going against the bookies here.
Yes.
But everyone's kind of thinking the same. So I'm just going to go for... I don't do this very often, but I'm going to go for a correct score. I'm going to go for 1-1 at 6-1. It was 1-1 in the reverse fixture earlier in the season. I can see the same thing happening here. By the way, you know this game's on at the same time as the BBC Cup game?
Yep.
I'd love Hills to put out a market on which one gets more viewers.
Oh.
No doubt that the viewers for Reading Arsenal will dwarf this game.
Oh, yeah, it always gets more viewers, doesn't it, on terrestrial television?
Maybe by 3-1.
Yeah. Which is strange, seeing as most people have satellite television now, don't...
Or, well, I'm surprised
have satellite television.
That's a middle-class thing to say.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I do apologise for that. Derek...
They might have Sky, they haven't got Sky Sports.
Derek, the Lee referenced the Manchester Derby. That was a cracking game, that Manchester Derby. Manchester City actually outplayed Manchester United in the first 15 minutes, but as soon as Ashley Young scored that equaliser, which was slightly fortuitous, they just looked more hungry than Manchester City, and that was evident on the pitch.
They were excellent. They were absolutely excellent, United, and they have been now for 3 or 4 weeks, and I can't believe the transformation.
I'm still not used to this, by the way.
No, I know. I can't believe
I'm still uneasy. I'm uneasy whenever
you
say it.
The words being strangled and thought of being perished, but it's true. They haven't been beating mug teams like Chelsea have been beaten and struggling to beat, by the way, the Hulls and the Stokes. United have beaten Liverpool recently, they've beaten Tottenham recently, they've beaten Man City recently, and beaten them well every time. Now, the only thing that stops me going for Man United to win here is exactly what Leah said. Both managers will be chuffed with a draw. And I agree entirely with Leah. I think it could even be a 0-0 this. Chelsea will want a point. You know, if all of a sudden they lose this game, and then Arsenal are still closing a little bit, aren't they? He'll just be a point a game will do, and we'll be made up with that. That'll probably be enough for them to win the league. And Van Gaal will be made up with a point too, because it keeps, anybody with aspirations of a top four place overhauling them, that ain't going to happen either. In my eyes, it's a nailed-on draw. Under 2.5 goals, 4-6, yeah. Under 1.5, 21-10, I would do that. I think it's going to be an absolute stinker. And all those people who choose to watch this game rather than a cup game, which will probably be everybody, might well turn over after about an hour, because I think it's going to be Dolesville, Tennessee, this one.
The draw is 5-2. Do you think they'll put Nemanja Matic on Mauro and Fellaini in this match? Because that's where Man City really struggled with that long diagonal ball. Came from David De Gea most of the time up to Mauro and Fellaini. I wonder whether Jose Mourinho will have anything in his plan to combat that.
Well, Gary Neville hinted that, didn't he, in his sort of when he was summarising on Monday night. Chelsea will have to do something to stop that little pocket on the left that United open up with Fellaini. But in my eyes, Fellaini is just... he could put me on Fellaini, I'd nullify him. I just can't have it. I can't have the guy. But maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not. he might do something to stop that little triangle down the left. But United are vibrant right now. United are playing much better than Chelsea right now. And if this was a title battle, I would go for United here at 3-1. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's a game where both sides will be delighted with the draw.
They've got a settled team now, haven't they, in a formation as well, Manchester United, which I think has contributed to their recent upturn.
Yeah, I think the character of the players is coming through. And I think he's starting to get used to the manager and all the rest of it. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens next season between these two clubs. I think that Van Gaal-Mourinho battle will be a great one to follow over the next few seasons. And obviously, Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool involved as well. But the draw is a sensible one, isn't it, 5-2?
On to Manchester City versus West Ham, which is the live lunchtime kickoff on Sunday, 1:30 p.m. kickoff. This one, Man City 1-4 to win the match. The draw 9-2. West Ham 12-1. Derek, it would take a brave man to be backing Manchester City at 1-4 at the moment. I'm sure they'll still be thrown into some hackers this weekend, though.
Well, they will, only because the opponents are West Ham, who've given up the ghost a long time ago, haven't they? We suspected that, and the result against Stoke doesn't sort of assuage any fears. They're waiting for the season to end. I mean, City were a shadow in the second half against United, but that opening 15 minutes, you thought, God, aren't they looking good? It was just when he went a goal down. I can't see them going a goal down against West Ham. And they've got to win this, haven't they? Because all of a sudden, the top four spot is not a given anymore. Liverpool are not that far behind. I've got to go for City to win it. And what's more, I'll go for City to win without conceding, because I don't see West Ham raising a gallop.
Okay, Manchester City to win the game to nil against West Ham at the Etihad on Sunday afternoon. I just wonder... Lee, whether there's a lot of pressure on Manuel Pellegrini, obviously. Jurgen Klopp's going to be available in the summer, albeit he said that he's going to take a year out, doesn't he, before coming back to Manchester?
No, he doesn't want to. He doesn't need a sabbatical. Said you wanted to take a year out before coming back to the next season.
I thought I'd read somewhere, maybe I've not read the most recent pieces, I thought I read somewhere that he wanted to take the year out.
No, he suggested that you should. I know he had two fantastic seasons at Dortmund and he's had a terrible one this year. And he was asked about it and he just said he was just playing good Klopp, bad Klopp.
Have you read his autobiography? It's a brilliant read. And when he was a kid, his nickname was Clipperty.
Yeah, well.
David, me.
He's got something about him, hasn't he? And yeah, I think he will be the next Man City manager.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
There was a piece in the Times today suggesting that Patrick Vieira was, like you mentioned, high up on the shortlist.
Everyone's got Sky. There's a piece in the Times today. What is this? When did this suddenly become a highbrow podcast? we'll see about that, won't we? About Klopp. I mean, there's a. It looks like he'll come to. It'd be great in the Premier League anyway, wouldn't it? I mean, let's see what happens with Pellegrini. But you'd be amazed to see him keep his job. But having said that, Klopp may stay in Germany. Yeah, if Bayern Munich go out against Porto, Guardiola might be coming to City, and Klopp go to Bayern Munich. But back to this game, I'm really surprised, Eric, that you didn't go for West Ham in some form. At the price, I thought 12-1 looked huge. I know this West Ham team have given up the ghost to a certain extent, and you know they've looked pretty poor, especially away from home, and they haven't looked much better at home. But they have got the capability of winning, and you know, I can imagine Sam Allardyce thinking, why aren't I in the betting for the Man City job? Do you know what I mean? He's that kind of guy. And remember when he said his aim was to manage Real Madrid or Barcelona? Yeah. So I think he might get his players up for this. Now, I'm not saying West Ham are going to go there and win, because that would be a major stretch. But I think it does give us an option to have a look at the plus one in the betting, or maybe even the plus two at the prices. I want to be with West Ham in some form here. But I've got another little theory. That I think I'm the only player, when I watch Man City at the moment, the only player, maybe two, who I think are really up for it, Joe Hart and Sergio Aguero. Sergio Aguero looks like he's trying to carry them on his own. I think my favourite striker in the Premier League, arguably, you know, probably in the top three in the world in terms of strikers for me. I think he's fantastic. Maybe four, given what Suarez did last night. But I'm going to be backing Aguero in some form every game, I think, between now and the end of the season. I think he'll end up as a top scorer. So Sergio Aguero, obviously, is usually quite short to score a goal. But Sergio Aguero, two or more, I'd like to be involved in. But I think West Ham will get on the score sheet as well. So West Ham plus two, I'm having here.
Is Glenn Murray in your top three then? Is he ahead or
world
just
football.
Slightly behind
yeah.
Glenn
world
Murray?
World football,
yeah.
I'd probably put Murray at five.
Murray five, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Next up, it's Newcastle versus Tottenham. Newcastle 21-10. The draw 23-10. Tottenham 13-10. This is a Sunday 4 PM kickoff. Headline offers here: Ayoti Perez to score and Newcastle to win is 5-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win in the market at 3-1. Newcastle, Lee, lost five straight in the Premier League now, only scoring one goal in the process. The absence of Papi Cisse has obviously contributed to that, but problems run deeper, don't they? And John Carver proving with every passing moment that he's not the man for the job long term. Mike Ashley wants out as well. He obviously understands the importance of them staying in the Premier League. They're still 80-1 to be relegated, so they should survive Newcastle, but
yeah,
it's dismal at the moment for them.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we've got Newcastle fine in the office and, you know, he's pretty downbeat every week. It doesn't sound like it's getting much better. I mean, I didn't think they were awful against Liverpool. I thought they had spells in the game where they looked like they could get something out of it. Obviously, the penalty that they didn't get could have changed things. So I'm not absolutely they are the poorest team in the Premier League at the minute, but I think they've got a little bit of fight in them still, I think, somewhere. Tottenham's form's like awful all of a sudden. You know, it looks like, and I was a little bit worried that Kane might blow up before the end of the season, given all the adulation and the England trip, which would have taken quite a lot out of a young player, I guess. And they just seem to have really blown up. I mean, away from home, they scored two at QPR. They haven't scored a goal away from home in four of the last five, with QPR in the middle of that. So they're really struggling for goals. We know Newcastle struggle for goals, but you know they lost 1-0 to Man United, but have scored in the five games around that. And you know, barring that that defeat to Sunderland at St James Park early in the season, they've actually scored in just about every single game this season. So I do think Newcastle can get a goal. It's just whether Tottenham can. I think this is going to be one of the games where they do pick up a point. I think they'll manage to hold Tottenham, and I'm going to go for the draw at 23-10 here.
Okay.
Tottenham just don't seem to have it for me, and you know,
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. I can't. I mean, the prices for Tottenham have always been pretty good, haven't they, Derek, this
compared
season?
Compared to Southampton, yeah.
Yeah, 13 to 10. You know, if it was Tottenham flying, I'd be all over that like a rash, and there probably would be a shorter price in truth. It does look a tempting price, but I haven't seen enough about them. They haven't got enough players to do the dirty work, have they, Tottenham?
No, good
and this
point.
Could be a dirty old game.
I think they're stick on here, Spurs.
Do you?
Absolutely stick on. I just don't see
that material.
They could be nat material. I don't want to reveal my hand this early in the process, but I think, Derek, that Newcastle have just completely gone. It's a good job they've got 35 points.
Well, there is still a possibility. I mentioned it on the podcast last week.
Yeah, you did.
150-1, and
it's into 80s now.
Is it really
80-1 to be relegated?
Did you back it, Derek?
No.
I
mentioned it, but I didn't really believe it. But Jesus, that's interesting because you can't see where their next point is coming from. That's how badly they're playing. Yeah, I know there were glimmers against Liverpool, Lee.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, was that because of Liverpool? Because Liverpool have been horrendous, you know, in for 3 or 4
Liverpool
weeks.
Had loads of chances as well, Derek.
Yeah,
you think about
did.
All the chances they missed. Lovren missed a sitter, Sterling, obviously, in the first half.
Could have won 5-0.
They could have won 5-0.
Yeah, there's also, you know, the backdrop here. The Newcastle fans might, you know, talking yet again about boycotting the game. It's going to lead to an odd atmosphere. And imagine if Tottenham go ahead 1-0, it's game over, isn't it? I mean, if Tottenham get the first goal here, it's, you know, they've won. Yeah, and I'm going to give them another chance. I am a bit. If this was Tottenham of a few weeks ago when Kane was flying, 13-10 would represent the bet of the season. But there's just a hint that maybe, you know, they've given up for the season too. They shouldn't have given it. They're tough, you know, where they are in the league, the European place is up for grabs. But I'm a little bit worried about their recent form. But I can't. You've got to oppose Newcastle. You have to oppose Newcastle. And you're getting odds against about a side who, on the day, are very, very tidy. So I'd agree with Dave here. I think Tottenham is something to bet on.
Yeah, I think I was looking at the under 2.5 then, Derek, while you were talking. And yeah, just to see what sort of price that was. I think that could be a good bet. Because, I mean, they haven't been getting tonked by anyone, you know, of late, have they, Newcastle, especially at home. Yeah. So, you know, the under 2.5 goals is priced up at 10 to 11. It's not a bad price. It's a pick 'em, basically.
Yeah, it's probably decent because they've drawn a blank in 5 of their last 7 games, Newcastle.
Yeah,
and Tottenham not scoring away from home particularly either. Yeah,
so it ain't going to be a goal fest, this one.
On to the non-televised matches this weekend, then we'll start with Crystal Palace versus West Brom, Saturday 3 p.m. Crystal Palace 19-20, the draw 12-5, West Brom 3-1. Headline offers: Glenn Murray to score and Crystal Palace to win looks attractive at 3-1. Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win in the market at 7-1. Derek, we seem to talk about Crystal Palace's run every single week now.
Yeah.
And we also speculate when it's likely to end.
Well, I know. I've got it wrong every week. It was when they won at Stoke, wasn't it? Or at home to Stoke. And I saw Pardew's interview and he was going on, yeah, that's us done. You know, we're safe now. And I thought, well, you've got to oppose them. And they've done nothing but win since then.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't seen that. The way they're playing right now, you'd have to say Palace are the best because West Brom have done nothing. But to 3-1. 3-1.
This is in your betting Bible, isn't it, Derek?
Well, it is.
I love it when this happens.
It is. And, you know, the one thing I've said all season long about Palace is that, you know, they've got match winners in their team. You know, for instance, Bolasie, for instance, Saha, and Bolasie proved it last week. Mm. But West Brom are no mugs, and on their day, they're capable of giving anyone a game. And they're playing a team that, you know, in form though they are, they're not great, are they, Palace? 3-1 West Brom.
They're 130 now, Derek.
It's done. Yeah, it's got to be the value grand, but it's got to be West Brom.
Okay, West Brom at 100-30. The play. You expect Tony Pulis's sides to be very strong defensively, don't you? And it started out that way. They only conceded 7 goals in his first 9 games in charge, but they've now conceded 10 in their last 3, which is incredible when you think about Pulis's sides historically.
And I got that completely wrong last week, DK. I mean, I know it must be a shock to listeners. I thought they would really go back to basics against Leicester. And I went for the under 2.5. I think I even put up the under 1.5 against Leicester. And obviously that didn't land. Now away from home, they, even under this kind of, you know, this Pulis regime, when he got there, he started fairly well, and they were looking to pick up points. But, you know, those Villa games, were quite alarming, weren't they? They lost 2-1 to Villa in the Premier League. Then they went to Villa, of course, straight after in the Cup and lost 2-0. They've been to City and lost 3-0. All right, no shame in that, because, you know, City on their day will rip anyone to bits. They did have McCauley sent off after 2 minutes, remember, in that West Brom game. I think you went for under 2.5 goals in the game and were unlucky with that sending off. I think it was unlucky anyway.
Thanks for bringing that up.
So I think there are going to be goals in this game. I can't see how either. I mean, Palace just look like they're having fun, don't they? Put simply, it just looks like he's sending them out there, play with a smile on your face, lots of other cliches, bang, 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 we're safe. Let's have a bit of fun here. Over 2.5 goals in this match is 23-20. I don't get that, really. You know, you look at West Brom away from home, you know, it's not like they're watertight, you know. And I know maybe a little bit more under Pulis, but you look at how many goals they've conceded. You know, they concede goals away from home. You know, Palace, we know, are scoring goals at home. So you don't need a 2-1 for over 2.5. So plain and simple for me, this one. If you wanted to go a couple other ways in, over 2.5 goals and both teams to score is 8-5. If you want to pick a winner, obviously, Palace to win and keep up that great form. And over 2.5 is 21-10. It was an interesting one, you know, for West Brom at the minute, because, you know, 33 points. If we're talking about Newcastle, they just need to pick up a little bit, you know, and maybe one win will probably do it. But Tony Pulis will be getting into them.
Yeah, he will. And I think the players will respond to that, whereas Newcastle have got John Carver in charge, who clearly doesn't have a great deal of respect with the players.
Yeah, he's just not cut out for it, is it? It seems. I mean, just on a quick aside, while we're talking about, we can discuss it with the next match that we've got as well. Top half finish odds, Derek, in the on the William Hill website.
Yeah.
Swansea 1-12. They're eighth at the moment on 47. West Ham are 2-5. They're ninth with 43 points. Stoke 8-15. Stoke are on 43 as well in tenth. Then you've got Palace at even money, 42 points. Everton at 7-4, who are on 38, and Newcastle 25-1. I know it's not a massive price, Palace, but the way they're going, the way West Ham are going, only a point between them. If I had a match bet between Crystal Palace and West Ham, I'd take Palace.
Yeah. But without question. The way
there isn't a match bet, but, you know, it'd be a better price if it was a match bet.
Well, you would. Well, I mean, Everton have got a bit of gap to make up, but yeah. I'd give Everton a shout.
Yeah, I would as well, though, because, you know, they've got a bit of a gap, but it's only 5 points, and they're the sort of team we can get on a roll, aren't they, Everton?
Yeah, that would probably be my bet. But
it's an interesting market.
Yeah, definitely.
Stoke versus Southampton is next. Stoke 12-5. The draw 21-10. Southampton 5-4. Headline offers here: Marma Biram Diouf to score and Stoke to win is 6-1. Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win in the market at 4-1. Southampton, Lee, are still fighting for that European spot, and barring that blip away at Everton a couple of weekends ago, they remain in pretty solid form. They've conceded just 22 goals in 32 games this season. That matches Arsenal's record at this point in the year they won when they were Invincibles back in 2004. They're up against this Stoke City side, who are ensconced in mid-table obscurity at the moment, and they've lost three of the last four as well, Stoke.
Yeah, and added to that, that stat that you've just given about Southampton, they've got the best away defence in the Premier League still as well, which is it's a great achievement for them. Stoke don't score many at home. You know, 20 goals in 15 matches. You know, we've said a few times this season that when you look at the amount of shots they've had this season, that's far higher than the amount of goals, proportionally as well, because they just don't seem to have the finishers. Don't score many. You know, most of those goals that scored at home have come in the first half as well. And interestingly enough, when you look at Southampton's defence, they've conceded 8 goals in the first half away from home, and in total they've conceded 12 all season. So, you know, you'd expect the first half to be the higher scoring of the two, if you like that bet. The second half to be the lowest scoring bet. I think it's going to be a pretty low scorer, though, to be fair. I know Stoke can score goals, you know, and you look at games against QPR and they scored 3, scored 2 against Everton. But, you know, I'm looking at a 1-1 draw again here. I think I want to be on Pelle's side now that he's kind of broken that little run that he had, or quite a long run that he had in truth. Obviously scored for his country, and then he had chances in the game, but won before, and obviously, you know, finally got his goal against against Hull City at the Everton game, wasn't it? When he, I think, I don't know if he hit the post or he went close anyway. But I'm going to look at him just to score a goal here at 13-8 as my main bet.
And if you fancy the first half to be the highest scoring half, 21-10 for the first half.
That's a pure stats bet, but yeah, I could go for that, I suppose.
What do you think here?
I cannot believe the odds here. I mean, your odds compiles are definitely Southampton fans. 5-4 to win at Stoke. Stoke 12-5, massive price, absolutely massive. I mean, the one thing you can say about it, okay, they haven't been getting the results the last 3 weeks, Stoke. But, you know, two ago, one of those games was against Chelsea. You know, so you can forgive them that one. They haven't been getting hammered. They've been in there every game they've played. And the manager, Mark Hughes, has actually, you know, has come out and said, we won't be easing up. I know it's easy to say this, it could be lip service. But we'll be going for every, you know, we'll be playing out the season, in other words. And you expect that from a team managed by him. And I just can't have Southampton there. I know, he's done fantastic, hasn't he, pumpkin face, the manager. he's so laid back that when he falls asleep, sheep count him. I've never seen a more laid back manager. But I just can't have them at these kind of prices. This is like, you know what price would Arsenal to be at win at Stoke? Would they be long odds on, do you think? I wouldn't imagine they'd
be a touch of odds on, maybe
10-11.
Yeah.
It's not that much difference, is there? I'm not having it. I think Stoke are a massive bet here. Could the vying for the dreaded bet of the week from me.
I'm still laughing.
Pumpkin face. Does he look like a pumpkin?
Ronald Koeman, is he the size of his gob?
I preferred the sheep count him line. Oh, that's superb.
Stoke 12-5 to win the game for Derek. The draw 21-10 and Southampton 5-4. Lee going with the 1-1 draw at 11-2. What was your main bet in that match, Lee?
Oh, you see, this is what you've done. You weren't listening. I said my main bet was Pelé to score.
Okay.
At 13-8. Which, given that 5-4, which Derek's right, is too short. If they're going to win the game, the 5-4 they win the game, they're going to score. I think he's overpriced in that respect. He's loved that pumpkin face.
Leicester versus Swansea is next. Leicester 11-10, the draw 5-2. Swansea 12-5. This is the one price, Derek, that shot me this weekend. Swansea. Leicester 11-10.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, Well, are you saying it's a big price?
I'm saying it's terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, exactly.
He was waiting for you to come back there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to agree with whatever you said. That's what he's like.
Swansea, it's almost 3-1, Swansea. And they're playing against the bottom team in the league who've only won five games, is it? Six games all season. And I don't care about their improved form. You look at their squad and they're a team that should be playing championship football and will be playing championship football. In fact, they played championship football much of the season. And Swansea are able to mix it with anybody, aren't they? You know, they just get about the business quietly, picking up points here and there, never getting outclassed by anybody. And I think they could outclass Leicester here. Leicester are so sure because they need the points and Swansea don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't always go that way, does it? Swansea are a Premier League team. And, you know, they've got paying fans. I'm going to go for Swansea. Yeah, it's just too big.
Leicester have been hammered in the betting a couple of times in recent weeks, Lee. Mm. They landed that big move against West Ham, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
And they've been solidly backed this week. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're touching even money come kick-off time. But Swansea have picked up 7 points from their last 9 possible points. I mean, they are not in bad form at the moment. And no, Leicester have had a couple of wins back-to-back. I just couldn't believe the odds here. This was the one that shocked me, Leicester being so short.
It's the same as that West Ham game for me. I actually wouldn't be surprised if Leicester won at all. And, that would be my bet if I was looking at it.
And that's what you mentioned in the West Ham game
as well. But you can't back them at that price, can you? Even if they are,
They'd be 6-4, 13-8 here.
I totally agree with Derek. I just can't see it. Interesting thing, I was looking through Swansea's away form and they've picked up some wins. The only time they win is when they win 2-0. They beat Southampton 1-0, Burnley 1-0, Villa 1-0. Hull 1-0 as well. It's a really strange little run. The exception to that rule is that when they beat Man United 2-1 on the opening day of the season, which seems an awfully long time ago now. But so the question in my mind, I guess, is can they nil Leicester? And the one thing about Leicester recently is that they've been scoring goals. They scored 3 at Tottenham, they scored 2 at home to West Ham, 3 at West Brom, of course. So I'm expecting there to be goals in this match. I don't see it being a I don't see Swansea winning 2-0, to be fair. I was wanting to back one of the Leicester scorers, and you look down the list, and again, like the win price, the prices are, they're not great. I mean, Jamie Vardy is obviously a very talented player, and he is a little bit of a streak scorer. He tends to get on these little runs. I remember early in the season, Derek, when he hasn't scored many all season, but you know he tends to score a couple, and he kind of comes into the limelight. Did the same last year in the Championship, but yeah. Scored in clumps. He's the best price for me in terms of the talent and the likelihood to score as well. 9-5. I mean, you've got David Nugent at 6-4. I mean, I can't have that really. Joa, who doesn't score many at all, 6-4. Kramaric, who's really not hit the ground as well as they'd wanted to at 6-4. So I'm just going to go for a Jamie Vardy goal. I'm going to have to leave the outrights alone just because of the prices and go for a Jamie Vardy goal at 9-5.
Okay, we finish off with Everton versus Burnley this weekend. Everton in the market at 13-20. The draw is 3-1 and Burnley 4-1. Everton, Lee, have picked up more points in their last four Premier League games than they did in their previous 12, on a good run at the moment. There seems to be something ingrained at Everton where it's as if they're programmed to finish a season better than they started. It was always the same way under David Moyes, and yeah. it's continuing under Roberto Martinez as well now.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's interesting that they just seem to have taken a long time to get going, and whether it's a combination of injuries and a lack of fitness and whatever else. But they like we said about they look a good bet to if you're looking for a bet to finish in the top 10, they look a decent bet to finish in the top 10 and finish the season strongly. Just a quick look at the remaining fixtures. They've got Burnley at home, they've got Man United at home, Villa away, Sunderland at home, West Ham away, and then Tottenham at home on the last day of the season. So there's a few winnable games in there, I think, as well. The 1-1 draw at Swansea was a little disappointing to me. I thought they'd go there and win, to be honest. And they're still not scoring masses of goals. They still haven't quite managed to get that, to replicate that Europa League scoring at home in the Premier League. But I think they'll win this, but 13-20. Jeez, it's like so short. I'm not sure I can back that. So I think I'm going to do something that I don't do very often, and that's go for the win to nil market, because Burnley just don't score enough goals away from home for me. They've had a good run, undoubtedly, against some good teams. Lost 1-0 to Arsenal, of course. Didn't score at Southampton or Liverpool or Sunderland. So I'll go for the Everton to win 2-0. But
they've not had that good a run, have they?
No, Burnley. No, they had against the good teams. They showed maybe the performances were better than anything else then, because the win against Man City, the draw against Tottenham, it was all right. They picked up some points, but I think Everton will win here. Can't back them on the outright, so I'll go for the win 2-0. Reluctantly though, it's probably of all the games this weekend, it's probably the one that I'm least confident on.
8-5 for Everton to win 2-0.
I think that's a big price, and I'm surprised at least sort of fight shy of going for that bet, the win 2-0 bet.
It's only my reluctance in that bet. I always seem to get chinned whenever I back it, Derek. Yeah, but it's a good price.
They've only got one in the last six in the Premier League, haven't they?
Well, exactly. You can't, and Everton don't give too many goals away either, do they? They're tight side to break down. I think it's a great bet, 8-5. I really do. I mean, I take Lee's points. I think Everton will win. I actually think Everton are underpriced, but I also think Burnley are underpriced as well. I mean, they're going to regret. Everton have only lost three home games this season in a season of struggle. And they played. In 17 of those games, he played better teams than Burnley. Everton to win 2-0, 8-5. I think it's a very, very good bet, that one.
Nap time then.
Yes.
Chaps.
Well, we need you, something.
You won last week, didn't you?
Yeah,
I had
a winner last
10
week.
10-11, was it?
21-20 it was, Mr. Phelps. But nice try.
What was it again?
Liverpool -1
against
Newcastle. So I've got Lee Mason to thank for that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They probably would have missed, to be fair.
Yeah. My I've gone like Harry Kane. So I was firing, and I've just gone over a cliff the last 2 weeks. I can't get a winner for loving the money.
What are you going for this week, Derek?
I'm tempted for Villa, to beat Liverpool in the semi-final.
That's one of those bets where you put that up, and if it doesn't land, you're still
No, I'm not really. I'm going to go for Stoke to beat Southampton 12-5. I would argue West Brom or Palace as well, but The Tony Pulis factor just maybe might err towards a draw in that one. I still think they're overpriced here. But Stoke, I think that's massive bet there to beat Southampton 12-5.
12-5 Stoke for Derek Lee.
I'm going to go for the Arsenal to win an under 2.5 goals bet in the FA Cup semi-final against Reading. I like that one. I think Reading will have one thing in their mind, that's to set up and try and stop Arsenal. I think Arsenal will break them down eventually. So 5-2 for Arsenal to win and under 2.5 goals.
I've got a few here then. Swansea, Manchester United or Spurs for me. I'm going to go with I'll go with Spurs, I think, to win at Newcastle. At the weekend, convinced Newcastle have completely checked out. So I'll go with Spurs at 13-10. That treble.
Well, hang on a minute. That's the best one. You've got a load, and that's the best one.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
What are the others, just out of interest?
Swansea was Swansea to win at Leicester at the price, because I think 12-5 is big there. And Man United, I think, might beat Chelsea as well at the weekend. That's 3-1.
Would be a big shout.
I've just gone with the shortest, so then I'm even more annoyed if the other two land. Stoke 12-5, Arsenal to win and under 2.5 goals is 5-2, and I'm going with Tottenham at 13-10, 26.37-1 that treble.
Running out of time.
We are running out of time a little bit, chaps.
That'll cop.
We need
one
to pull our fingers out, don't we? That one will land. Thank you, Derek.
Cheers. No problem.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thanks, DK. Thanks, Derek.
See you, lads.
Thanks to everyone for listening to the Pump Podcast as well. Remember, you can download this via Audio Boom. Just go to Audio Boom and type in William Hill, or you can get us on iTunes as well by subscribing to the podcast. Get it delivered to your smartphone weekly. Thank you for listening again, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.